Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 2. And when we're in a situation like this, we never quite know what exactly the Lord is going to do. It reminds me of in Haiti when we went down there to pour cement, and Brother Wall was trying to get enough water to pour cement, and he doesn't have a well there he can just draw out of, so it's all rainwater and cisterns. And so he told us, he said, "I don't think I have enough water here to pour all this cement this week, and plus the water for taking care of the mission team." And so the Lord began to put water in that cistern. He would measure it. At the end of the day, he's keeping track of how many 100 gallons we were using and what should be in the cistern at the end of the day, and there was more in the cistern. And so the Lord did a miracle there, and then as soon as we stopped pouring cement, the water stayed. It stopped there. It wasn't added any more to it. And we read instances like that in the scripture where the barrel of meal did not waste, nor the cruse of oil did not fail until rain came again. And so the Lord can certainly do the miraculous. And the Lord wants everyone to be prepared. He wants them to be saved. And I've wondered if this whole situation, you have Russia has prophesied in the last days coming against Israel, along with other nations, Iran, Ethiopia. And so I thought, is the Lord giving people a picture once again of what is coming? So you have Russia coming against the nation with a Jewish leader. Will the Lord suddenly step in when half of Ukraine is conquered? I don't know. When Russia one day comes against Israel, half of Jerusalem is going to fall, and then the Lord is going to step in and win the battle. Will the Lord do the same thing here? Just to show people a little picture, a little taste of what is to come. I don't know exactly what he'll do at this point, but we do need to be much in prayer for these people. Romans chapter 2 in verse 17. The Bible says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God." So we looked at that last week. Isn't it wonderful to be able to rest in Jesus Christ? Just how wonderful it is. If you hold your place here, let's turn to Isaiah 26. You know, the world has no one to go to. I mean, gas prices are shooting up. And you turn on the news and everything is negative one way or the other or both ways. But in Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And so as Christians, we have a rest that the world doesn't have. God told us these things were coming. We're not afraid of global warming or climate change. God promised in Genesis 8:22 that winter and summer, day and night, hot and cold would not cease. And so we're not worried about those things. We just rest in Him. He can give us that perfect peace. Notice in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. You know, they've gone back and forth so many times on this COVID situation. You know, well, it's this or it's that, or wear a certain type of mask, and then say, "Well, that mask doesn't do any good." Well, stay 6 feet away. Well, what's 6 feet away when there's germs floating in the air? It just back and forth. Then suddenly they decided COVID is over. Oh, okay. You say it's over, so it's over. Huh? It's just contradictory statements, one right after another. But in Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, and Jesus speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." isn't it nice to be able to go to the Lord and just experience that rest? That rest in a world of turmoil. So we saw that last week in Romans 2:17. The Jews rested in the law. That is, the saved Jews rested in the law of God. And then we go to verse 18 today. And knowest what? His will. And approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. So, last week, the people of God can rest in the law of God. And this week, point number two, the people of God can know the will of God. What is the will of God? It's God's desire and perfect plan for our lives. How many of you have ever used a screwdriver as a pry bar? Okay. How many of you have ever bent a screwdriver or broke it? Sure. Why? Well, we're not using it according to its original design. It just was kind of handy. Maybe we didn't have a pry bar that size. And so, used a screwdriver. Might have broken the handle. You might have bent the metal, depending on where the screwdriver was made. If it's made overseas, you probably bent the metal. I've just tightened screws before on some of those cheap import screwdrivers, and just the blade bends. It's not too strong. So, verse 18, God wants us to know His will. God wants us to approve of the things that are more excellent. Where do we find those things? Being instructed out of the law. If you hold your place here, we'll be back and forth. But let's turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Have you ever thought about what makes heaven a desirable place to go? I mean, even unsaved people, unless they are really, really vile and vicious, they might say, I don't want to go to heaven. I wouldn't be comfortable there. I want to go to hell and, you know, party with all my friends. That's what they say. That's what they think. No one's partying in hell. They're all tormented there. But why do we and many even unsaved people want to go to heaven and believe that heaven is a perfect place? That heaven is a place of peace and rest and joy and happiness. In Matthew 6, verse 9, this is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art where? In heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Is there any doubt that God's will is being done in heaven? No, that's a fact. God's will is being done in heaven. And the fact is, verse 10, is God wants His will to be done in earth. And just stop and think about it. We do know that heaven is a perfect place. If you hold your place here and turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And verse 4. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All of those things right now are happening in Ukraine. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of crying. There's a lot of pain. But in heaven, there are none of those things. It's a perfect place. Why? Because God's perfect will is being done there. And back in Matthew 6, the Lord wants us to pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So thinking about that, and then thinking about back in Romans 2:18, where it says, and knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Why wouldn't we as Christians then long for God's perfect will. Now, out on the road, you know, we have our lane. You know, we can go so far to the right that we could hit the potholes or the shoulder, which is soft, and be pulled off the road. Or we can go so far to the left that we're in danger of hitting another car that's going the opposite way. There's a man in Cedar Springs that would come into the lumber company that had, I forget, well, it must have been his left arm. His arm was probably half the size, his left arm was probably half the size of his right arm. And what happened was one day he was going on a road and going over a hill, and he had his window down and his arm out the window. And I don't know, he must have been gawking at something, and someone coming the other way, I don't know what that person was doing, but on the hilltop, they sideswiped, and his arm was injured and damaged. So the rest of his life, it was only half the size of his right arm from that accident there. And as Christians, have you ever stopped to think why we don't want to be in God's perfect will? Why do we veer to the right and endanger ourselves of dropping off the road and being pulled out? Why do we want to go to the left and be in danger of an accident? Why wouldn't we, as Christians, we know that heaven is a perfect place. We know that in heaven there's perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect rest. Then why, as Christians, wouldn't we want to find that perfect will of God and stay right there? Where will we find it? We'll find it in the Word of God, as it says, Romans 2:18, "And knowest His will, and approvest the things that are what? More excellent. Being instructed out of what? The law." You would think, wouldn't you? You would think, we would think, heaven is perfect because God's perfect will is done there. But why is it, as Christians, sometimes we seem to be afraid to let ourselves go into the Lord's hands and do His will? We might read something in the Bible and we might think, but if I do that, people are going to mock me. But if I do that, I'm going to lose some friends. But when we are not doing God's perfect will, are we really happy? No, we're not. Look in Romans chapter 12 here. Romans 12. When I was a boy, I would read these verses and sometimes I would think, but Lord, why can't I just do what I like to do? In Romans 12:1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And I used to read that verse when I was young and I'd think, Lord, why do we have to give our lives a sacrifice? Why can't we just enjoy life? And the problem wasn't with God, it was with my understanding. I was reading that sacrifice as I was young and I was thinking, Lord, why to do your will do we have to die? I wasn't seeing the fact that it says a living sacrifice. I was just thinking of, you know, more like being a martyr. Like Brother Wesco. I'm going to Cameroon in just 2 weeks. Loses his life. And I was looking at it from that aspect. I was missing the part about being a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And as a boy, I sometimes thought, well, how can that be reasonable? You've given us life, and why do we have to just give our lives up? Why do we have to die? I was missing the whole point. It's a living sacrifice. And when it's holy and acceptable unto God, then verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. And that goes right back to Romans 2:18. That's where we find that perfect will is from the Word of God, the law of God. So, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is what? That good and what? Acceptable and what? Perfect. And there it is, the last three words are what? Will of God. So as a boy, I was thinking, but God, I know you have this plan for my life, but Lord, why can't I just choose? And so when I graduated from high school, I didn't allow God to choose. I did what I wanted to. I did the job I wanted to. God took away my opportunity to do that job. And so I had to go to work in a factory, and I was miserable. I was literally miserable. I hated going to work. The pay really wasn't really enough to meet all of our needs, and I was miserable. And so the Lord, through many different things, got my attention, and where I finally said, Lord, what do you have me to do? And you know what, then? There was a peace. Then there was some word from heaven as what to do. And I look back in my life when I was doing what I wanted to do, I did not have peace. I did not have contentment. I really wasn't at rest in my life. Why? Because I was convinced that I'd be happier doing my own will than God's will. And so as we think about verse 1 here, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, you know, what I was doing with the Lord was giving Him a list, saying, okay, well, I'll do this, this, or this. What He really wanted me to do was give Him the blank piece of paper and let Him write down what He wanted. And I really wasn't happy, really wasn't contented until I come to that point. So if we could go back to Matthew chapter 6 in verse 9, as we think about that this week, where are we on our lane? In our lane of the road. In Matthew 6:9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? In earth, as it is where? In heaven. Every one of us know that heaven is a perfect place. Every one of us know that everything in heaven is wonderful. Every one of us know that heaven is a place of happiness. And every one of us also know that this earth, for the most part, is the opposite of that, because people are not concerned with God's will. You know, the Lord tells us to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. So He wants us to pray that He would send forth laborers into the harvest fields. And when we start praying that sincerely, we have to ask the question, like Isaiah, you know, the Lord says, whom shall I send? And Isaiah volunteered, Lord, here am I, send me. It's the same way here with the will of God. If we want God's will to be done on earth, He tells us to pray this way. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And there's no way to honestly, sincerely pray that unless we are praying, Lord, I don't want your permissible will. In other words, I don't want to get as far to the right or as far to the left as I possibly can and not incur your wrath. if we sincerely pray this, it's, Lord, I really do want to do your perfect will for my life. Would you please show me? Lord, I just give you my life. Lord, help me to be in the perfect, your perfect will. I'll guarantee you, if we will do that each and every day, we will not have to fear. We will find that contentment and rest that is no other place other than God's perfect will. And for each one of us, you know, God didn't make us all the same. When we read in 1 Corinthians about the church, He didn't make us all to have the same gifts or the same offices, because He needs His people in every walk of life. And I just pray that this week we would pray sincerely, in, as He says in verse 9, verse 10, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. In heaven, everything is done according to the perfect will of God. I pray that this week I would do everything in God's perfect will. And that's the opposite of the time in which we live, isn't it? We read that perilous times are going to come because men are going to be lovers of what? Their own selves. And that's saying, my will be done, not His. And that is perilous. Our time is up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we ponder the suffering in Ukraine, and actually the suffering of many, we know there are many Christians in Russia as well, and because of their leader's decision, they are suffering. Their economy is collapsing. They're fearful. The Ukrainian people are suffering. Lord, we know there's accusations of corruption in the government on both sides. But Lord, even with Nineveh, Jonah just wanted to see it destroyed. But you said there were 120,000 there who couldn't tell their right hands from their left hand. So 120,000 little children that did not yet know the right from the left hand. And Lord, we pray for all the little children in Ukraine, the little children in Russia who don't want to have to live under war and suffering. And Father, I pray there'd be a great awakening, a great revival. And we do pray, if it be your will, that as was prayed, Lord, that the Jewish president of Ukraine would repent of his sins and receive Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. We pray that Mr. Putin would repent of his sins and receive Christ. Lord, we pray your perfect will would be done over there and in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.